what's up?
Just lost the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about stuff and junk, all kinds of things. I'm Parker. I'm joined, as always, by co-host Jason Frisbee.
Hello.
This week we are joined by a special guest, returning guest, Mr. Unstable. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty fantastic. Today has been a delightful day.
That sounds really pleasant.
Yeah.
And I'm also doing well, though.
Excellent. Yeah, today's been a good day for you. I heard that you've been laughing at this picture of a really old cat.
I am drawn to tears just from thinking about it. Yeah, the 20 years from now photos that people do of themselves. Well, Parker posted one of what it would be like if a cat did one of those. So in the bottom right corner traditionally is like a person's portrait, like a close-up picture or just any picture of that person's face. And then the larger framed photo says 20 years later, and it shows what that person might look like 20 years in the future. And with people, it's totally fine because they have, like, you know, kind of sunken in cheeks and some pretty bad photoshopped lines on their faces, sagging eyes and everything. And like, oh, okay, that's somewhat accurate. But with a white feline, it just looks ridiculous because this white cat has such dignified age. I can't really describe why it's so ridiculous. I mean, we're going to have to post it on the website, obviously, but this is going to cause an epidemic of people just basically pissing themselves from laughter. If it's anything, if it's the same effect that it's had on me as anybody else, it's just going to be like pretty much society will come to a halt because people are laughing at this old cat so much.
I had actually just saw that picture before you guys called.
Yeah. I'm surprised you're joining us then, because I must didn't make it.
It's more disturbing to me than anything else.
It looks true.
Like, do you know about Krampus?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. It looks like that in 20 years, the cat turned into Krampus.
Krampus, the Christmas demon.
That sounds about right. He's got like these really dark, sunken in eyes and evil looking cheekbones.
Yeah, that cat definitely looks like he would kidnap wicked children and eat them.
Yeah.
He's the Krampus.
That's what the picture reminded me of. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of when I seen it.
That's pretty spot on. I like that.
Yeah. So you were probably more frightened than Frisbee was delighted, I would think.
That's true. Scared, but it was just disturbing. Yeah.
But yeah, like I said earlier, this is Pool Party Radio. You can find us on the iTunes.
Oh, if you want
to go to the iTunes, you can search for us. We'll pop up. You can subscribe to us. You can leave us some reviews and comments. We would love you because then more people will find us. Also, we're at poolpartyradio.com. So yeah, so there's that. With that out of the way, I figured we could start the way we start all the shows. And that is by talking about what we learned this week. And I'll let you go first, Mr. Frisbee. That way this will take your mind off of that cat.
Well, I was actually going to say, if you didn't bring it up, what I learned is old cat is goddamn ridiculous and hysterical. But barring that, I learned that this time of year, fall season, getting close to Halloween and everything, there are more pumpkin-flavored treats than I previously was aware of. Usually when Halloween comes around, I mean, all of us, I'm certain, grew up with like the novelty of pumpkin-shaped stuff, like the pumpkin-shaped Reese's or anything that looks like a pumpkin, but never quite tasted like it, right? Like pumpkin peeps and all that. And Now they're actually doing like pumpkin spice flavored stuff, which is basically like nutmeg, cinnamon, kind of like a smooth taste to it. And I had these Hershey Kisses. They're pumpkin spice Hershey Kisses. And they taste really good. Have either of you had these?
No, I haven't.
I haven't had them.
I'm not like advertising Hershey's or anything, because when I first looked at it, I thought it was disgusting looking. I don't know. It looked like a false Hershey Kiss. So it was speculative. But then buying into it, it tasted like eating pumpkin pie. It was ridiculous.
That sounds pretty sweet.
I didn't know if this was actually like a trend starting. And yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I had pumpkin ice cream one time, and it was pretty great. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But yeah, I think they should add pumpkins to all the things. Every food.
Right. They might look. Everything.
They could do it October and November.
Yeah, and some breweries will do that. There's like pumpkin-flavored beers, like the Ichabod beer from New Holland, and Pumpking out of Southern Tier. Like, those both taste like pumpkin pie going down.
That sounds real gross.
See,
I don't like my beers to be fancy. I like my beers to taste like kind of dirty water. That's how
like you're hating life.
Yeah, that's the kind of beer I like.
What about you, Mr. Sable? Do you drink or any beers?
Not really any beers. I like Jägermeister and Bacardi 151. I don't think Bacardi 151 is any kind of delicious at all.
Jägermeister would certainly get a lot grosser if you added some pumpkins to it.
Maybe.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like any sort of like mixed drink or something that includes Jägermeister and gives it kind of like a fall twist to it or something. I don't know if there's any fall drinks, period.
I mean, if somebody thought to put birthday cake inside of vodka, I'm sure they thought to put pumpkin pie in there.
I bet you could make alcohol inside a pumpkin.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. People do it with watermelons. I don't see why you couldn't do it with pumpkins.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, the Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival is coming up soon. The one that a lot of the movie Birdemic is based around. And they have like 1,000-pound pumpkins there. So maybe I'll sneak in and I'll spike that pumpkin and get hundreds and hundreds of people wasted. And then everybody will be attacked by birds.
As per tradition.
Yeah, that'll become the new tradition.
But Halloween is about random bird attacks.
Yeah. That's the best part of Halloween.
Some of my fondest memories. What about you? What did you learn this week, Parker?
I learned that sometimes people collectively and irrationally like stupid things. If this applies to either of you, I apologize slightly. But this new website emerged this week where some genius discovered that human noses are sort of the same shape as the head of a Ninja Turtle.
And so, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Noses.
Yeah, and like 300 people have posted this on Facebook, and I've seen it on like every blog I go to. And you know, it's this guy who realized that these two things are sort of shaped similarly, and now he draws a bunch of Ninja Turtle faces on people's noses, and I don't understand why there's a whole blog dedicated to this. It seems like you would see the first one and be like, oh, I never made that connection. That's clever. And then you would just go about your day. But there's, you know, hundreds of these drawings now, and I don't understand how, you know, looking at 100 of them is going to be any more entertaining than looking at one. And so this is a new thing that I don't understand why anybody would put any time into caring about this one bit.
So you learned that you hate that.
Yeah. I've learned that there's yet another thing that I hate in the world. But yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's just mildly, vaguely clever. And yet everybody's treating it like Jesus came back. And that we should all spend all our time looking at these things and drawing them. I don't know. You guys have seen this website, I assume?
I've had like 3 or 4 people try to show it to me and kind of just didn't have the time.
See, that's the appropriate response to this website.
I'm busy with this other stuff. I don't have time to look at these noses with Ninja Turtles on them. I've also seen it, and I did give it some time. It didn't double me over. I didn't repost it. I mean, honestly, nothing is ever going to be as funny as Old Cat. so I don't see why anybody bothers trying. But no, to me, the humor is in the commitment and the fact that he keeps posting this stuff. I mean, this is probably the silliest idea for a blog. It's almost as silly as like anything out of Monty Python or anything like that. Like, it doesn't get sillier than this. We're just very simply photos of celebrities, politicians with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles face etched over their noses, but he sticks with it. And to me, that's kind of funny. Well, not to you.
I admire the dedication.
Yeah. Basically. I mean, I'm very much into the school of if something's funny one time, it will be funny. It will be even more funny, you know, if you say it and repeat it 100,000 times.
Yeah.
But, you know, in order for that to happen, the thing has to be funny the first time. And I think even the people who are into this aren't, like, looking at this Ninja Turtle nose and being like, oh, ha, 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 hilarity. Like, I think everybody's just saying, cool, a Ninja Turtle. I'm just an old grumpy puss, I guess.
No, I think it's legitimate.
Excellent. Justification. Validation.
If I had a stamp to approve this, I would stamp it approved. What about you, Mr. Unstable? What did you learn this week?
Well, I learned something that I probably should have already knew.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned that, on a personal level, Glenn Danzig is a homophobic dick.
I was actually going to ask you about this.
It just really sucks because it's I haven't too followed his solo career much, but I grew up on the Misfits.
Uh-huh.
And to be like, basically, Glenn Danzig's on his Facebook and posting pictures of like his fans and like making fun of them. Like, look at this kid. He's a juggalo gay hybrid. Watch out for this guy. Don't get raped and stuff like this.
Hmm.
Which on one level, there's some humor there. But to actually do that to your own fans, I took up for the kid that he was making fun of. So then he started attacking me. I mean, basically being an internet bully, which is fine if you're just Joe Blow, like, regular person, but, you know, I don't know. It's just I do music, and I've always been a fan of music, and for just anybody to treat their fans that way, I don't like it. And then it's even worse that it was on a level of, like, he's a homophobic dick, you know?
Yeah, I saw the picture and stuff. I didn't know it was one of his fans. I thought it was just, like, some picture he found on the internet and wanted to make fun of. Right. Like, the fact that it was, like, one of his, like, fans makes it a lot worse, I think.
He, like, randomly goes through and just picks out people's, like, profile picture and will just make fun of it. It's not the only person he's ever done it to, but it's the level it was going to. Like, his, like, you know, the other kids were joining in, like, really, like, no other word to put it, fag-bashing this kid. And then, you know, he's just popping on saying stuff like, you know, let him burn and stuff like that after it. You know, I don't know. But that's what I learned. To me, he's a dick, and that's what I learned this week.
Yeah, well, you should probably watch that video of that one huge metal dude punching the shit out of him that made the rounds around the internet a few years ago.
I've seen it where he knocks him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, whenever I get into a fight, I'm a big fan of the Michael Graves Misfits. So whenever...
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. So being as such, like, people don't let you get away with being a fan of that for some reason, and they always want to get into a fight whenever you tell them that you like Michael Graves Misfits, and that's always my retort. Whenever somebody tells me that Michael Graves Misfits suck and Danzig is the end-all be-all, I just post that gif and get out of the argument.
What do you think of now?
Yeah. But yeah, going back to the fact that these are like Glenn Danzig fans, it's weird that he would like just be going around looking at people's profiles and just creeping them and trying like just for the sole point of like making fun of people. Like, it seems like he could be using his time a little more wisely by making those solo albums that everybody loves. LOL, JK, JK.
Well, it was just so 1985 of him.
Yeah. Yeah, another part that I found funny was, I found the picture and everything because I have a lot of time on my hands and and I get interested by this kind of thing. But I found it, and I thought that your second comment was like made a really good point, is that you know, that the kid looked like he was a mindless self-indulgence fan more so than a Juggalo. And that just made it like more sad for Danzig, that like he's just so old and out of the loop that he can't tell the difference between a kid that likes mindless self-indulgence and a Juggalo. Because they're too, I don't know, I mean, you know, whether this kid liked whatever band, we don't know for sure. But I mean, you know, two very, very different looking subcultures.
Right.
That Danzig. Old grumpy Danzig. He probably hates those Ninja Turtle noses as well. Old grumpy puss.
Grumpy pants.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com.
Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hit yourself a Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
And now, it's time for the lightning round.
This is the lightning round. This is the part of the show where we talk about news and stuff. The first thing we have is big news. People are talking about it nationally. People are talking about it in our home state of Ohio. It's a crazy, crazy story. Apparently, a guy who owns a wild animal sanctuary, or maybe he just owns these animals for fun, I'm not sure. But in Zanesville, which is near Columbus, Ohio, he killed himself and then let a bunch of his animals go. A bunch of grizzly bears, black bears, lions, tigers, crazy stuff, all let go like it's Jumanji Part 2.
That's how Times Magazine tweeted about it, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, Times. Time Magazine. I don't know why I said Times Magazine.
The Times Herald Tribune Press.
And actually, The Guardian, they posted, somebody commented on this, they posted it as Ohio man kills himself, then lets exotic animal collection go. And the guy commented, like, I hope I do more stuff when I die, too. Because the sequence of events was out of order in their headline.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
I get that joke now. Now I get it. But yeah, this is crazy. It seems, you know, the cops, rather than try to put any effort into anything at all, they just killed most of these guys, these animals, instead of trying to capture them and put them into, you know, a better place for them. You know, which seems
lazy. A lot of work.
Yeah. A lot of work to tranquilize these things or to bring in professionals or anything like that. Let's just kill things. Because after all, that's why you become a cop in a small town, is, you know, you just sit around your entire life waiting for this to happen so that you can just go out and kill things. If Occupy Wall Street doesn't come to you and you don't get to mace or injure anything that's helpless, then then you wait for Animal Farm to riot and you go kill and mace that instead.
Well, I mean, yeah, resident Ohioan, Mr. Unstable, what have you thought about this? Like, are you in any sort of, I mean, you're not close to Zanesville at all, but you're aware that there's like a bunch of exotic pets out and about.
Yeah.
Like, what, one time there was that tiger walking down Main Street in Dayton. So this is kind of like that times 12.
Yeah, there are people in Xenia that have, in like outlying areas, Xenia and Caesars Creek, that have a lot of exotic animals. So it's around the neck of the woods. Are you
there's a few lines and stuff like that around here already.
Really?
Yeah, the people, I don't know what it is about Ohio and wanting to bring pets that totally do not belong in Ohio.
Right.
To Ohio, and I call them pets loosely, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know if a lion or a jaguar is really pet material. I mean, a house cat will do damage on you if you mess with it too much. So I can only imagine pissing off a lion. But
right.
The thing about this story that's crazy is it's not the cops necessarily, they're going to kill these animals, which that's, you know, itself, you know, speaks for itself. But there's also going to be, you know, just your regular old jack-offs that want to go out and find these animals and shoot them. It's hunting on a whole nother level here. We got a lot of hunters. I'm kind of fascinated with did the guy plan it out like, I'm going to let all these animals loose and then I'm going to kill myself? You know, I mean,
right.
Was that like the plan, or did the animals happen to get loose, or?
Yeah, did the animals start to get loose, and then he's like, "Well, I've been busted. Time to off myself."
Or did they, like, is it Madagascar where like the penguins made it look like he killed himself, and all the animals escaped?
It would at least be a little bit more hilarious if it were like Madagascar, because then you'd have like talking penguins and Chris Rock as a zebra.
When there's a tragedy this close to home, I like to kind of make as light of it as I can.
You kind of have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in this situation. It's just so bizarre. And you're right. Like, Ohio has this magnet of exotic animals to the extent that there was a documentary made about it just last year, Elephant in the Living Room. And, like, a national expert on the topic of exotic animals. He was actually at the screening that I went to of it, but he's heavily featured in that documentary as being just this national expert on how to handle exotic animals. He just kind of learned through the trade and doing research because he's encountered he's encountered so much. I wouldn't say like almost everything because there's still tons to be discovered, but yeah, he's seen pretty much everything you can see when trying to call animal control on anything exotic. And it's just bizarre how often it happens. In the movie, he was actually consulting with a guy who owned a lion, trying to convince the guy to get the lion up to a more habitable place, but the guy kept the lion as a pet, kind of like the situation you were describing.
Yeah, there's a couple local people that have animals like that.
Yeah, when I worked at the newspaper in Xenia, people, like, there was a big kind of political fight about whether they should outlaw people having cool animals like this or not. And me being the crazy anarchist I am, I think anybody should have whatever the fuck they want. I mean, if you've got a yard big enough, by all means, have whatever you want. I mean, you know, it's not like you're doing any harm to the animal by collecting something like this. I mean, it's bound to be killed. All animals are going to be killed by Chinese people who think that their bones will give them bigger erections. Anyway, so why not take one in before this happens? You know, so now, after this has happened, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be jumping on a bandwagon saying that nobody should have, you know, any animals like this, any exotic animals. But what they should really be jumping on the bandwagon of is that people shouldn't be allowed to be crazy and have animals like this. I mean, if you're going to kill yourself and then set off like a fun Jumanji Part 2 thing, then maybe that guy shouldn't have animals. But there are plenty of competent people on Earth that want to have animals and want to have animal sanctuaries. So that's a bummer about this. Another
plenty of Dr. Doolittles just everywhere.
Yeah.
You want to talk with the animals.
Well, that's the next problem is that these wild animals, the Dr. Doolittles of the world, your PETA people and what have you, they're going to go to Zanesville and handcuff themselves to these lions. Mm. And then either the cops going to shoot them or the lion's going to eat the person.
Yeah. Well, they've got all of them.
They've got all of them?
Yeah, they've got all of them except for one monkey that has hepatitis. They haven't found him yet.
And that monkey has a Twitter account, by the way.
Yeah.
You can follow him at Zanesville Monkey. I'm serious. We were looking at some of his tweets tonight. He's like, hey, if you're going to be in the park tonight, bring some hep vaccine and bananas.
Yeah, like that's another thing that makes me upset that, you know, these cops are just going around killing these animals effortlessly is because, I mean, if it only takes you like less than a day to kill these 49 animals, then maybe just take the extra day and tranquilize them and put them in a fucking zoo, eh? If it's only going to take that long. Another thing that really makes me very upset about this, and I'm by no means a PETA person, and, you know, I don't care. If you want to kill an animal for fun, be my guest. Have all the fun in the world. But one thing that enrages me about this is that this guy had wolves, cougars, black bears, all of which are native to this area. I don't understand why that the authorities would go out and kill these animals that already are there in this area living.
Were they raised in captivity, or
I'm not sure.
Did you like capture them? That might be part of it then, because like they might. Well, again, that's just kind of feeding the point to like why would you take down something that doesn't know how to survive on its own anyway. Like, it's going to go nuts, but you could at least give it a chance to continue its captive lifestyle instead of just being like, nope, can't survive. Blam.
Yeah, they could have just waited a week and all these things would have been hit by cars. Anyway. But, yeah, but I don't understand why you go out and... I mean, are they going to go kill all the rest of the black bears that live in the area? I mean, why not just let these black bears go? They're already there.
Every bear is like an old boy from the movie Old Boy. They just end up going crazy after being in isolation and taking out anybody they see.
You're saying that that Jumanji 2 is going to be directed by Spike Lee, who's directing the Old Boy remake? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clear, but you had to come out and say it. I know Spike Lee was doing the Old Boy translation, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
With Justin Timberlake as Boo-Boo.
Yeah, and I think the most sad thing about all of this is that Teddy Roosevelt was not alive to kill all these animals barehandedly by himself, as he always wanted.
And those bright, gleaming teeth.
Yeah. The next thing we have in the lightning round is that Billy Corgan, famed musician and moper, is starting his own wrestling company. It's called Resistance Wrestling, Resistance Pro Wrestling.
Huh.
The first such event for these guys will be held in November in Chicago. And this sounds to me like two great tastes that taste great together. I like the Smashing Pumpkins. I like wrestling. I don't think this can go wrong. How do you guys feel about this?
Well, I mean, one thing's for sure. If I know one thing, it's Billy Corgan knows a whole lot about tough guys.
I sense that you're being sarcastic.
A little bit. This news to me is more shocking than the guy killing himself and letting all the animals loose.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I would have assumed that at some point in the world, a guy would kill himself and let his animals go loose. But I would never in a million years have guessed that Billy Corgan would start a wrestling company.
Wow.
But I assume if you have all that melancholy money, you gotta spend it somehow. Those royalties from Tonight aren't going to spend themselves.
Apparently not.
I thought for the last few years he was working on his role in the new Addams Family sequel.
Uncle Fester representing. Where is this based out of? And do you have like any of the wrestlers' names on the roster?
Yeah, it's based out of Chicago, because Billy Corgan is
from. Right.
Yeah, we've got Raven. The talent roster seems pretty sweet. We got Raven.
Oh, so Raven from like ECW, WCW. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Teddy Hart is there, who is fucking amazing. He's like the best wrestler ever. He was on this MTV wrestling show a while back, and he's pretty spectacular. We got Necro Butcher, who is everybody's favorite homeless-looking wrestler. El Generico, who is awesome. You know, a bunch of little indie guys. Colt Cabana's there, who is awesome and has a cool podcast. Harry Smith. A bunch of indie guys, mostly. And hopefully our friend Gigi at some point.
You know, I've seen a lot of those guys that you named. I've seen a lot of them wrestle.
That's awesome. I've
seen all those guys, but it's weird because it brings up something we almost touched on earlier. I've seen them all at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Did you go this year? Because I know Colt Cabana was there this year.
No, I didn't get to go this year.
Yeah, I'm a big Colt Cabana fan. His podcast is pretty great, and he's a funny guy. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to this. I think this will be fun.
I mean, does that mean Smashing Pumpkins versus Insane Clown Posse is coming soon?
That would be pretty good. I would think that ICP would
be... They're going to go for the 90s belt.
Yeah, yeah, I think it'll be ICP... It'd be Jay and Shaggy versus Billy Corgan and Danzig at this point now.
There you go. Yeah, that works for me. Now that means I'm going to be involved with cheap shots from outside the ring.
Yeah, you're going to charge into the ring and get that Danzig for what he said to you.
I think I'll he'll kick my ass, but I will work on Billy Corgan's knees though.
I like your style. The next thing we have is in San Francisco. People are trying to make it so that there will be a standard, lawful, legal contract that you enter into wherein you have to tip everybody 25%. When you go to a restaurant, it will be mandatory by law that you tip 25%. We've talked about tipping before on episode 3. I'm very against the idea of mandatory tipping. I think the people are pretty douchey when they come to expect something that should be given based on hard work and friendliness rather than surliness and things like that. I don't know. I think people who demand tips are generally the shittiest servers. I don't know. This bums me out. I hate people who just assume that they're going to get tips no matter what, despite the fact that they're taking smoke breaks and not refilling you Dr. Pepper.
I mean, really, this law, this change does seem really silly. Just for a simple fact that they could just be paying servers a living wage instead of just having them rely on tips. Yeah, why just have the customer outright give them the money they need? I mean, there's other avenues to go through here.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to make a law about this, why not make it a law that, you know, these people have to get paid more than $2.50 an hour?
Right. Pay wages is minimum wage, and we won't tip anybody anymore.
Yeah, see, that sounds pretty good. Unless, of course, that person is awesome and deserves a tip. That's my whole, like, I'll tip anybody if they're fucking great. But 9 times out of 10, as we talked about on episode 3, I get people who are, like, dropping half my onion rings on the floor. They're not filling up my drink. They're, when I ask for lemon chicken, they bring me regular chicken and be like, oh, I thought you wouldn't notice that we ran out of lemons. shit like this. So it's not that my problem is with tipping per se. It's just that, you know, this expectation that everybody who serves anybody has to get tipped no matter what is fucking absurd. And especially this law that would make it mandatory to tip 25%. Like, in my life, it seems like tipping has gone from 10% to 15 to 20. Like, when's it going to end? When on earth is it going to end?
Yeah, I thought the 25% was the highest you could go, and like 10 was incivility, the lowest that you could go. But I mean, obviously, there's people who will just like forgo tipping if it's bad enough. But I mean, I never really had a conversation about tipping ever. And I've known people who've worked in like restaurant businesses as waiters and waitresses. And even on that episode 3 that you mentioned, like, I didn't really know what to add, because my only experience of a conversation about tipping comes from the very beginning of Reservoir Dogs, where that's all it is. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Indeed, I do.
Right.
Yeah. So that's all the information I know about tipping comes from a movie that's not a documentary about robbers. So yeah, I would assume that a living wage would be a much easier route to go. And that's, if I'm not mistaken, in Reservoir Dogs, they explain that as the European standard. So does that offend you, Parker, at all?
That these people should just be paid by their employers a living wage rather than being subsidized by the customers?
Like they are in Europe?
I don't know.
It's the Europe thing that I'm concerned about.
I don't know what they do in Europe.
Well, that's what they do in Europe, according to Reservoir Dogs, but I don't know for sure.
In Europe, people don't tip that much, is what you're saying?
No, that in Europe, the wait staff are actually paid a living wage, and they don't rely on tips. In fact, people don't tip in Europe.
That's fucking awesome. That sounds great.
Again, I'm citing Reservoir Dogs on all of this, so it could just be a complete lie.
Yeah. Well, if that's the way it is, it sounds pretty good. If you start making it mandatory that everybody gets 25%, then nobody's going to work hard. Everybody's just going to be like, oh, well, I can take another smoke break because I know I'm going to get that 25%. Who cares? Everybody's just going to be a Denny's waitress no matter where you are.
Well, in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No matter where you go in San Francisco. I don't know. I'm very, very adamant about this tipping thing. I'm very passionate about it. I think there are two things that are ruining the world, and that's this idea that tipping should be mandatory and jaywalking. I think jaywalking is the fucking worst.
I didn't know that you hated jaywalking.
Yeah, well, you live around Dayton. Like, it's like anytime I would be driving in Dayton, like Dayton proper or East Dayton, like, it just seemed like every block somebody would just jump right out in front of my car, not even looking, not even caring. Just it was a fucking mess.
Like, I don't remember this epidemic of jaywalking as much. I mean, I'm going back this weekend just to visit, so I have to keep an eye out. Like, here in Charlotte, it's way bad. Like, people are just sprinting across streets like deer. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's wild. And people here, it's even kind of worse, because, like, man, like, I'll be driving around, and I don't even drive that often, but when I do, like, it'll just be people with, like, you know, shopping carts full of babies just walking slowly in the middle. It's fucking absurd, man. Just wait for the crosswalk.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like there's anything of dire importance. This actually does sound the same, because I've seen that same thing too, where it's like some very just tired looking pregnant woman who's standing at the median, and like traffic's just whizzing by her, and you're like, what are you doing in the middle of the road? You are with child, you know? And you look across the road to like where they're trying to get to, And it's like, I don't know, like a Jack in the Box or a McDonald's. And it's like, really, you're going to risk your life for a quarter pounder? Just go to the crosswalk. It's just a few yards away. You're not out. I mean, you would have been there by now had you not tried to clumsily frogger across the street.
Yeah, and you don't risk the chance of death.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not even sure why at this point people getting hit by cars while jaywalking is not the leading cause of death in this country, because it seems like it's happening on every street.
I think people are just wily about it. Like, I've seen more people jump out of the way of it, but here there's a lot of boulevards, so they kind of have room to. I mean, there's these green patches just everywhere, just a concrete slab separating, like, two-lane traffic. And, you know, they'll jump back onto the median like, whoops, I almost died, but whatevs, I really want that milkshake.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that evolution is going to kick in, and that all the shitty jaywalk crossers are going to get killed, and then all the good ones are going to survive and pass on their genes to even better crosswalkers. Or jaywalkers, and you know, in like 20 years from now, we're just gonna have these people who are just amazing at it, so they're gonna be doing it all the time, and
you won't even notice. They'll be like Neo from the Matrix, just wafting across the street.
Yeah, once it gets to that point, then I won't care anymore. But this in between stage fucking sucks. but yeah, so the last thing we have in the lightning round is that a family in Massachusetts. They entered a corn maze. They were trying to have some Halloween fun, good old fashioned fun, and they couldn't get out, so they called 911. I find this very funny. It took the search party 10 minutes to find the family, which is also pretty great. They were.
And did they have to call another search party to help them out?
Yeah. It was like a Stephen King story. Like by the end of the day, there was like just thousands of people in there, and nobody could get out. But yeah, they were 25 feet away from the street at the time when they were found. Not very lost at all.
It's kind of like when you think you're drowning, but then you realize you can just stand up.
Yeah. It's like being in the bathtub and calling 911 because you think you're about to drown.
Could somebody raise my shoulders a little bit?
I would be embarrassed to call the police.
I'm surprised the police responded. Like, they must have had a baby with them or something, just to, I'm not saying that like in a mean bullying way, like they must have been babies, but I mean literally must have had like a 1-year-old or less than, saying like, hey, yeah, his formula's in the car, we're getting really nervous, because I don't see why anyone would respond to that. They're like, it's a corn maze, get out of it yourself, just walk through the corn, right?
Yeah, it seems like you could just walk in a straight line through the goddamn corn and make your way out pretty easily.
Yeah, kind of look where you can see like light somewhere and walk towards.
Yeah,
being like 25 feet away from the traffic, just go there and walk around the maze.
Yeah, or
there are so many options that they could have done. That's baffling that they didn't even try.
Yeah, they could put somebody on. Go ahead.
If the cops had took a little longer, they would have resorted to cannibalism.
Right.
Yeah,
a family called us, but only two people were there. Well, one and a half.
Yeah, it seems like they could have just, like, put somebody on somebody else's shoulders to see over the corn to see where they had to go. Like, they didn't think of that either.
Another option. Yeah, that's baffling.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, like, a family fun time, and they ruined it.
Yeah.
We're making jokes to see this is really going to be a murder-suicide thing, but he's chickened out.
Yeah.
Check them out to the corn to have Halloween fun. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, the guy who runs it says that it's, like, made for beginners, and there's no way anybody should ever be stuck on that maze for any reason.
I hope that's his entire quote. Like, there's no way that there should be any people stuck on the maze for any reason.
Yeah, that's the direct quote.
That's good. I like that. That's an excellent way to respond to that situation. Like, everyone is still free to come to this corn maze. Yeah.
Yeah, these people today.
Massachusetts.
We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't touch that dial.
Trick or treat, trick or treat for Halloween. Better give a treat that's good to eat if you want to keep life serene. Let's get back to the terror.
Welcome back to Pool Party. Now we're going to do a segment on the show called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. This is a segment where we take a topic, and then we give a good example, a bad example, and an ugly example. For example, in the past we've done movie cameos, we've done concerts we've attended. We've done it a few times. You probably dig what I'm throwing down. This time, we're going to do Halloween stories, or things about Halloween in general, but we're going to do it a little differently. Instead of talking shit about Halloween and doing good, the bad, and the ugly, where 66% of this would be bad about Halloween, we're going to mix it up and we're going to do a good, the bad, and the good. That way we're mostly celebrating Halloween. We're here to celebrate Halloween on this episode, not fuck it up, not fuck everything up and talk shit about it.
What about you, Mr. Unstable? Do you want to start us off on this?
The good, which I took almost in my mind as like the best Halloween that I've had, and I really had to, you know, argue with myself a lot over this, but I think it would have to be 1999. I went to Detroit and saw the Cottonmouth Kings Twisted War and Insane Clown Posse on Halloween night in Detroit.
That's ridiculous.
I think that was probably my best Halloween. You pretty much can't beat it.
That's understandable, yeah. Especially. I tried to see Gwar and the Misfits one time a long time ago, but it sold out by the time I got there, which was the only time I didn't buy tickets like 10 years in advance because I'm very obsessive and I got screwed over. So I'm glad to hear that you got to have some good Gwar Halloween action.
Oh, yeah. And it was in Detroit, and it was... Because it was in Detroit, they were going before Insane Clown Posse,
mm-hmm.
And that's the messiest, most violent show. the place had carpet, so I don't think they knew what they were getting into. The club had carpet.
Yeah. That seems like somebody probably got fired after that.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite post-show pictures I've seen online. I've never been to a Gwar show, but I have a faint idea that I'm gonna show up bloody wherever I am afterwards, like fake bloody, but bloody nonetheless.
Fake bloody.
We usually walk into the Waffle House looking like murderers or something.
Yeah.
This cat looks like murderers in here.
And they kind of just don't blink in Serbia anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, Waffle House people have seen it all, so it's a good place to go.
Yeah, I went to my first Gwar show ever was in Cleveland, and we saw Mushroomhead and Gwar, and Gwar was, of course, spraying everybody down with everything, and so everybody was all wet and covered in blood and crap. And then Mushroomhead was like, they had all these like ripped up newspapers that they were like throwing out into the crowd and stuff, and it was like raining. It was an outdoor show, so we were covered in like all this paper mache from the newspapers and all this fake blood and stuff. And on our way home, we got pulled over by the cops, and the cops were, you know, entirely in disbelief that we hadn't committed some sort of crime that we looked.
And actually, the same Halloween show I'm talking about, we got pulled over on the way home, and they said, "Where's Kiss playing tonight?"
Whoa.
The oldest cops ever. These are the same cops
Danzig hangs out with now.
Yeah, these are the cops that Danzig hangs out with, and it's one of these cops was the old-timey prospector from Kansas that we talk about from time to time.
Yeah, the guy who ended up being a security guard at a museum in San Francisco and was offended by ladies holding hands.
Yeah, that's the same guy.
He makes his rounds. Top of Detroit.
Where's the big Kiss rock and roll program at tonight?
My good story is... Actually, going back to the Reservoir reference, I went as Steve Buscemi's Mr. Pink character one year and went to my first Halloween party. Like, I'd never been to a party, most years I just gone out trick-or-treating or just hung out with friends, like after I was, I don't know, 11 or 10 and didn't really do much with it. But then I think when I was like 19, this was probably back in 2002, 2003. It was this first Halloween bash and it was these guys who lived at this, one of those old large houses on the, west side of Dayton, like near the, art museum. There's some really old, like almost mansion style houses, and they're kind of rented out to college students or whoever, if they can get enough roommates to room in it. So that's what it was. And it's like three stories in this basement of just nonstop partying. And they all had like plenty of friends coming in and out. Everybody was dressed up. Halloween themed junk was everywhere and it was just nuts. It was a really great time. And surprisingly, like I didn't have to explain my outfit too much, even though it was just a suit with like a painted on mustache and slick back hair.
The vaguest of all Halloween costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember having to point out too often, but then again, I don't really think anybody cared. So I liked it though.
I understand.
What about yours? What was your good story?
My good story, you know, when we first came up with doing this, I was like, man, I'm going to have several hundred good stories and I'm going to have to whittle it down. And I really couldn't think of anything. Like, you know, it seems like all the memories I have from my life are shame based and like pain based. I think that all of my good memories have dissipated in my old age. So, yeah, I couldn't really think of much. But a couple of years ago, well, when I was in high school, I was very obsessed with LSD. So into it. Just gobs and gobs of it every day. And, you know, something happened. Like, I took too much one day, and then I didn't take any more acid for, like, a long, long time, which is this whole other crazy story that we'll get to one day, I'm sure. You know, so for years and years and years, despite the fact that LSD was once my favorite thing in life, it had been years since I had taken it, and I decided to take it a couple years ago at Halloween. And then go to the Boo and Brew Festival that we have in Dayton downtown, where bars give people beer for money. And everybody gets drunk and everybody's dressed up like either slutty things or bloody things. And it's a big fun time. And so why I would choose to do this, I don't know. I normally, in my everyday state of mind, I hate being around crowds of loud people, so I don't understand why under hallucinogenic substances that I would want to go be around crowds of loud people, but that was my plan, and it was just a tremendous time. Like, it was like being reunited with an old friend or an old lover or whatever it is that you thought died in World War II. Like, I just rediscovered why me and LSD were best of friends, and just had a tremendous time looking at people. And basically just that. My friend Gigi, who's been on the show multiple times, he was putting on a wrestling show right in the middle of the street because it's like a big outdoor sort of celebration. And it was fun to watch him on this substance. You know, it was a little crazy having a head full of acid and like watching two guys beat the crap out of your friend with chairs. So I was like kind of scared for him, but like I figured he had it under control in some way.
Did he come in on top from what you can remember?
I think he might have lost that match. No, maybe.
Oh, that would have been a bummer.
But yeah, so
they're taking his belt away. Don't take his belt away. Thieves.
Yeah. Well, this is back in the day before he had 38 championship belts, and he was still just doing.
Oh, okay.
Now, of course, he's the Triple H of, mm-hmm. of the area, but this is back when he was still a young guy. And so yeah, it was a crazy fun time, and I re-met my bestest of all friends. So yeah, Mr. Unstable, what is your bad Halloween story?
Well, I was bad at Halloween. Bad at Halloween is anytime you trick-or-treat and you get pennies or a toothbrush or dental floss or anything like that. This is not really a story. This is just for the people out there. This is bad. You know, it's trick or treat. And even if you trick the kids, they don't want to be tricked with dental floss. You know,
yeah.
Do that other 364 days of the year.
Right.
we might flatten your tires.
Yeah. I never understood when I was a kid and stuff going out trick-or-treating, like why somebody who was clearly opposed to Halloween and trick-or-treating would go out and still spend money on like dental floss or toothpaste. Like, why not just not answer your goddamn door instead of ruin everybody's fucking in, like ruining everybody's day?
Yeah, but you have to have the lights off and everything. You can't just be one of those folks who's like watching TV in the living room and ignoring the knocks, because that's just asking to be vandalized too. Like, you have to really pretend that you're not home and not going to give out candy.
I've had friends that used to invite me over to sit on their porch to pass out candy so they didn't have to deal with anything because they knew I loved Halloween. So I love to give the kids some candy.
Yeah, I handed out candy last year to kids for like the first time ever, because I'm always doing something somehow, and it was very pleasant. It was a pleasant, like, old-timey experience, because I'd never done it. Like, I felt like somebody's papa just handing them out and commenting on all the kids. Oh, look at you, you're a little Jason, you're so cute.
Well, it's kind of nostalgic, you know, because if you're handing out the candy once you're older, you can almost remember when you were the kid and it was so cool to get, you know, your Reese's cup or whatever.
Yeah, well, I still had that too. Like, I'd be like, here's one for you kids, here's one for me. It's a celebration.
Oh, yeah. That was my bad thing, which is kind of cheesy, but I'm a guest, so I don't have to follow the rules, I guess.
You do what you want. That's how this show works.
You have endless good experiences, so finding out the critiques of Halloween is fine. And actually, mine's kind of along that same lines too. I did have a personal experience with this, but in my case, I had kind of overdosed on haunted trails one year.
I thought you were going to say acid, like my story.
This is the opposite of Parker's story. I did too many haunted trails one year, and it wasn't the same year that you and I, Parker, had gone to see that, what was it, Freak Show Deluxe in the haunted trail that was involved with that. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Freak Show Deluxe is awesome.
They are.
I've done a couple shows with those people.
No kidding. Yep. Really?
I got hooked up through them from doing benefits for Dr. Creep.
Oh, yeah.
So they would always do stuff, too, with the same benefits I would do. So that's kind of how I met those guys.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Anyway, I think we messed up your story.
No, that's fine. I was just saying, like, that was a good time. Like, they were the pre-show to they were, like, the sideshow for one of the haunted trails I went to with Parker. But then, like, this was just a few years ago, like 4 years ago, I think. This one Halloween, I was really psyched to just do as many haunted trails as possible. Like, there was one between Dayton and Cincinnati called Zombie Island, which doesn't really register because there's no islands in Ohio.
For thousands of miles, there are no islands.
Yeah. Like, unless you're like near any sort of beach, then there's a chance. But yeah, anyway, Zombie Island, near the Hustler store, I remember. And I did countless of these, and it just got tiring. Like, I was making myself go to these haunted trails, and the luster kind of wore off. I hate to say it because I love those things and I think they're really fun. Like, I get really freaked out. Parker, you're aware of this. Like, I was grabbing your hoodie the entire time.
Yeah.
So I found them super effective.
For a guy who talks a big game about not being scared of ghosts.
I was pretty scared of teenagers in masks. I was really scared of the most unconvincing Leatherface ever. But yeah,
did the chainsaw work?
Yeah, the chainsaw worked. I remember that pretty clearly.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
That's a real person with a real chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who's working at those things. That's why I think it's scary. I've worked at them a couple times.
Yeah,
you don't know who's really behind the mask. I mean,
and if they've had a bad day,
it could be a Dahmer, a Gacy, or a Mr. Unstable behind any one of those.
Exactly. Now the fear is returning. But at the time, like, I've been going to like three or four of these, not in a weekend, but like over just those couple of weeks in October, and you got to really space them out. I mean, you can't just marathon those and expect to have fun. But yeah, and it's, especially at Zombie Island, I know I went to like a few others in on the country. There's a couple, like the Freddy Corn Maze. I went to that one again. But one particular event I remember that made the Zombie Island one extra bad, even though everything was great, like they did have excellent setups. The chainsaw guy was huge, and you would be walking down this row of trees that kind of created this archway, like it was a garden or something. And then this door would burst open, and he would fly out so you wouldn't even notice, and this light would be blasting behind him, and he'd chase you down this row of trees. So you just, it was intense. But I remember I was with this friend of mine, and she lost an earring, and I was trying to find it while this creepy this creepy witch lady was crawling on the ground around me. Like, what, did you lose something? Like, trying to stay in character. And I'm like, yeah, we lost an earring. She's like, well, you're never going to get it back. Like, again, trying to stay in character and move us along. I'm like, well, no, it's really important, though. I'm just trying to, please, can you help me? And she's like, no, I'm not going to help you. But if you need to ask about it from our lost and found.
Our lost and found of doom.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. And the girl I was with, she was like, just leave it. Come on, let's go. It's not important. It's not even valuable or anything. Like, okay. Yeah, that was a bummer season. So like, yeah, don't do too many of those in one sitting, in one weekend.
Yeah, I think that same year I did something for the paper where I reviewed like all the haunted houses that I could, like as many as I could, like almost all of them in the area. And I got the same thing. Like, you just get burnt out after a few of them. Then I also did a couple of like the church, like reality houses.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember this.
Yeah. So that made it even worse. Like, you get burnt out real fast when you have to, go through a haunted house where two old people are talking about how we're probably all going to die from anthrax poisoning because we live so close to the Air Force base.
That's terrible.
What? That's what really goes on in a reality house.
Yeah, I went to this one in Fairborn, and that's what they were talking about. Like, they were talking about that, and then, of course, they had the old standards of don't get pregnant or Satan will eat you. And
don't do drugs or else you'll end up in the ninth circle of hell.
Yeah, yeah. So they had those, but mostly it was about the fact, like, they had this whole story that went through, like, multiple rooms about how we live too close to the Air Force base, so we're probably going to die of anthrax poisoning. Like, this was like 2004, so people still were scared of
anthrax letters.
Yeah. So, and then like the two guys in the story, they died from anthrax, and then we followed them to heaven, and then but then they didn't get let into heaven because they were sinners, so we went to hell instead. Which, the difference, you know, via this story and this reality they put on, was you go to this room that's like all lights and stuff, and then the guy in heaven doesn't let you in. So they pile you into like a little short bus, and then they take you to a diner that's on their property, like a little silly diner with nothing in it. And then they tell you about how you need to accept Jesus into your heart. So I didn't really understand their story, because they say, oh, you guys are going to go to hell. This is the hell part. And then they put you in this thing. And then when you get out, they just tell you about how you need to sign up for their religion. So that was the hell, and I don't think they saw the irony in that.
And now we're on the bus to hell. Now sign up for this religion for hell.
Yeah, it was pretty wacky.
Could you eat anything at the diner? Or
no, it was like a diner that was no longer a diner. Like, it, like they gutted it and stuff. Like, you could tell
therein,
it used to be a diner.
Therein lies the hell part.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
You want is flapjacks, and you can't get them.
Yeah.
Man, after seeing the anthrax story, I just want some powdered sugar on my pancakes.
Yeah, I think they had some cider or something, but
that's lame.
Yeah.
See, now that's a bad Halloween story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I should have used that one as my bad, because this bad that I'm about to tell is not nearly as bad or entertaining. But
I guess it's good that you got paid to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so my bad story, which is nowhere near as entertaining as that bad story, is that, you know, a few years ago, I was living with John O and Gigi, who've both been on this show that we've been talking about. And, you know, also my girlfriend at the time lived there, but we were only together for like a couple of months. So it was weird that we were living together, and we had like just broken up like a week before. And like, I wasn't really like depressed by that, but it also like just kind of left me having no energy, you know, like I wasn't sad or anything because, like I said, we weren't really together. But I, yeah, like it just kind of saps you of your energy to have to break up with anybody or whatever. And Gigi was out on tour at the time that Halloween rolled around. The breakup had just happened, and me and Jono weren't really getting along because he like hadn't paid rent in like a couple of months or whatever it was. So I didn't really have anything to do. I had no energy from fighting Jono and from breaking up, and Gigi was not around, and that was a bummer because, you know, we hadn't played SmackDown for Xbox in like a really long time, so that drained me of my energy. So I just decided to not do anything for Halloween because I was just, you know, tapped out. I had nothing doing, no delights to pass away my time, so I just sat around and like read comic books or something, and it was just a bad Halloween.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer story.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing of it is like, it wasn't really, like, a bummer. Like, I wasn't sad or depressed or, like, bummed out. I just hadn't... It was, like, true neutral. It was the true neutral of Halloween's. Like, I wasn't sad. I wasn't upset. I was just... I also just didn't have the energy to have fun.
Oh, I thought instead of saying, like, the other extremes of true neutral, I thought you were going to say that it wasn't chaotic evil for Halloween. So,
yeah. Well, all my Halloweens are chaotic evil.
Yeah,
I'm a villain. But yeah, let's do our bonus goods now and cheer everybody up before we go away about Halloween, rather than just
huzzah.
Shitting on it. Yeah, Mr. Unstable, you got another good story for us?
I'm kind of. One year, I passed out candy, but it was with a friend. And I dressed up like Michael Myers, head to toe with the mask, you know, the expensive-ass, ridiculous mask. And we played the Halloween theme, you know, the John Carpenter Halloween theme on repeat the whole night. And I kind of stood in the corner with a real axe. Now, I'm a weirdo, so I put this in the good Halloween category. But you know how hard it is to let, like, 50 to 100 people walk by you while you're listening to the Halloween theme, fully dressed like Michael Myers, with the axe in your hand. It's hard to just stand there all night.
Yeah.
But everyone that walked up there was scared. Kids, parents, you know, people that didn't come near the house that just stood across the street and wouldn't go near us, because some people just hear that music and won't come near, and then there's other people that have phobias of Michael Myers.
Yeah, and then other people probably won't come near the house when you're playing that music because they think that you might be playing Rob Zombie's remake of it, so they just don't want to get close to that. They just don't want no parts of that. How about you, Mr. Frisbee? You have another good?
Yeah, actually, you mentioned of the Halloween movie marathons. Kind of missing those this year. There's not any advertisement of a horror movie marathon going around in Charlotte. I'm not sure why. But I have a lot of fond memories of going to plenty of horror movie marathons around this time of year, around Halloween, back in Dayton. And there was, of course, I mentioned Dr. Creep earlier. When he was still around, he would help out with like the Horrorama Festival. And yeah, those were always fun. And they would have like the costume competitions and stuff like that. And yeah, it was an all-night thing, and it was just nuts. One year they played Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Is that the one with Dennis Hopper in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the crowd was just going nuts, eating it up. A lot of like diehard fans of it and everything. And of course, it was like the Little Art Theater in Yellow Springs. They would do – this is actually the last year. It's the last year for their horror movie marathon. They went on for a couple of years, but – they're stopping this year, or after this year, and that's always fun. Huh?
It's kind of sad.
It's a bummer, but I mean...
quickly changing.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. I mean, I haven't been there outside of, like, the Little Art House marathons, but those were always a good time, too. Like, you'd get people ordering Domino's at, like, the 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. turnover, and just eating in the theater and stuff like that. So yeah, always a good time. Always good with like groups of people.
Yeah,
so that's good.
Those Horroramas are fun.
What about you? What's your other good?
My bonus good is 1 year in high school, me and my friends, I think Jono was there, my friend Lori, perhaps this kid named Levis. We stole a pumpkin from Walmart, and we named it Presentable Delia, because that's a good name for a pumpkin. And we proceeded to take it everywhere with us. Like, we took it to school, and when one of us would get in trouble for having it in school, we would just hand it off to one of the other ones, and then they would get in trouble for it, and then they would just hand it off. And we just kept taking it wherever we would go. Like, we'd go, you know, being teenagers, we would, like, go find our Mad Dog 2020 and drink it in a park. And we would, you know, for, like, the entire month of October, we took this pumpkin with us. You know, so much to the point that it started becoming old, as pumpkins do, and it was, like, rotting, and pieces were falling off, and it was stinky, but we were still carrying it around until, you know, all of the molecules of Presentable Delia just kind of melted away, and one day when we were carrying it, it just turned to mush, and there were no more solid enough pieces to keep carrying it around. And I think this is like the second week of December by this time or something. Like, we were just carrying it around forever, and it was a very sad day when Presentable Delia had to go away, because she very much became a part of our crew. Like, you know, there was the four or five of us or whatever that were hanging around with Presentable Delia. Like, we were a very succinct Seinfeld-esque crew, and Presentable Delia was our Kramer for those 3 months or whatever it was, and it was just a very fun time. I suggest that everybody go out and just befriend a pumpkin.
I've got pumpkin friends.
See, they're better than human friends more often than not. Yeah, so that's almost the end of the show here. We've had a lot of Halloween talk, a lot of dead animal talk and stuff. It's almost the end of the show. We should say, though, that this week, I believe, Mr. Unstable, your new album's coming out. What's going on with that? How can the kids find that? And everything of that nature.
Well, let's see. The 25th, which is, what, next Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
That's when my new album comes out, Tales from the Pumpkin Patch is what it's called. I have a CD release party in Hillsboro, Ohio on the 28th, and it doubles as the Halloween costume party, because I try to make sure to throw myself something like that every year, even if nothing else is going on. I can make sure I make an event for Halloween, even though for me pretty much every day is Halloween, but you still have to get down at the end of October. So, yeah, that's what we got going on there. And I got another big show coming up with somebody I listen to named King Gordy. And I'll be playing again at the Al Rosa Villa November 20th in Columbus, Ohio. That's pretty much the rundown for what's going on right now.
Is there a place to get the album online if kids can't make it out to the shows?
The best option... It's a really hard link. So the best option is facebook.com/MISTERUNSTABLE. Mr. Unstable spelled out. And that'll get you to my Facebook page. And there should be 3 to 20 links to the album down my wall. That would be the easiest way.
Cool, cool. Yeah, and speaking of websites, you can go to poolpartyradio.com, where we got tons of episodes. More episodes than you can shake a dead leopard at. You can also go on iTunes and subscribe to us. That way you effortlessly get all our episodes. You can also leave us comments and reviews and stuff. We'll owe you a solid if you do that, which we got a new one. And we got a one that the solid that is to be redeemed is me choosing the movie Pre-Hysteria 3 on Junk Food Dinner, which I will totally do. I need to find a copy of Pre-Hysteria 3, though, because that's a pretty hard movie to find. It stars the kid from Last Action Hero, who befriends dinosaurs. And as you might expect, not an easy movie to find.
Aren't they tiny dinosaurs?
Yeah, they're tiny little baby dinosaurs.
Do they talk like people? Like, hold on to your hats, or anything like that? Or do they just squeal like dinosaurs should probably squeal?
I think they just squeal.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a full moon production, isn't it?
Indeed it is, yeah. Or whatever, like, full moon's like family friendly imprint was. Like, they had like a subcategory that had some weird name. It was like rainbow moon, some other mystical type thing. I forget. So
moon. I forget too. Yeah. Moonbeam. Was it Moonbeam?
It might have been Moonbeam, yeah.
It was something like that.
But yeah, so I'll track down that movie. I'll do it on Junk Food Dinner. I think those guys, those other Junk Food Dinner guys won't have a problem with that. They love dinosaurs. More than anything. That's what they always tell me. They get drunk and they call me late at night and they tell me that they love dinosaurs. Yeah. So, also you can follow Mr. Frisbee on Twitter at Jason Frisbee. He just got a smartphone and he's been just tweeting like a goddamn maniac.
You love it. I can tell you love it.
I do love it. I also enjoy your tweets about Hesher because he's kind of my hero now. And I hope that that can spread to other people. I hope he becomes your hero too.
I haven't seen it yet, but everything you've mentioned about him, I mean, how can I argue? He sounds great.
Yeah, you don't need to see the movie. Hesher's just a dude who's, like, kind of badass. He'll, like, kick your ass if you're fucking with him. And he likes Motorhead. And he's metal. He's got a long
hair. Yeah, I can get behind that. That's fine. Yeah. A-okay.
Yeah. Also, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio, and like us. We really like those likes. You know, it really makes us happy to get tangible things that prove that people are listening to this show. We love tangibleness. Tangibility. But yeah, I think that's everything. Next week we'll be back, and we'll have slightly more Halloween things, and probably some sort of follow-up about how PETA plans on blowing up the city of Zanesville for killing a bunch of lions.
And Pool Party Radio.
Yeah, they're also going to blow us up. And the Tippers Union 101 out of San Francisco is also going to threaten to blow us up.
Tippers Union?
Yeah.
We want tips. When do we want them? Now.
What do we want them for? Doing nothing.
Not refilling your Dr. Pepper. Not refilling Parker's Dr. Pepper. Very specific chance.
Occupy Waffle House.
Yeah, so tune in for that. And I think that's everything. Oh, email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com if you want Frisbee to read it on the air. Oh, and here's a song to go out on by Mr. Unstable called Jack-O-Lantern. So enjoy, and see you next week.
Like me, you and STABL3 celebrate the dead. losers, nerds and zeros, psychos and freaks, circus rejects like Luther the Geek, Mr. Unstable, hyro like Gummo, Halloween throw on a special Muppet show, the pumpkins go, reaping all they sow, me, yo, my, yo, Mark Pompilio, here to Chicago, the pumpkins glow, a shade of yellow, a magic candle that you can't handle, completely unstable, bump the guitars, baby dolls on the table.
And for some reason, there's a picture of me, and I'm dressed as a popple.